Okay, if you will, turn with me over to Genesis chapter 4. Very well known occurrence, the jealousy between Cain and Abel, and what it resulted in. With the subject being on jealousy, this is a good place to start. So, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, and it reads, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him." Okay, we all know this story. It's been taught to us from the very youngest of our Sunday school classes on up about the brothers, and the jealousy was there. A couple of the problems that they were dealing with there is Cain brought his offering of his labor, his works. As we can learn from that as an example as well, as we don't earn our salvation through works. We don't gain that from our works. We can get rewards for our works. And also a lesson of obedience. What were they instructed to do? Clearly they were instructed to do what Abel did, to bring a blood offering, the blood sacrifice. The instruction of the blood sacrifice was given to them. We don't have the details of it until the books, later books of Moses here, where he explains it in detail. But that's clearly what was happening here. Abel was doing what the Lord had instructed, and Cain decided to give of his own efforts, of his own works. And then when he didn't get credit for it, he got mad at his brother, which is common amongst siblings, one to be mad at another. But he took it to the extreme and actually killed his brother out of jealousy. Jealousy because what he had done was accepted, and what Cain had done was not accepted of the Lord. So we got to remember to follow what the instructions are from the Lord. Follow the Lord's will, and then we will get the blessings that He has in mind for us. And let's not be jealous of what blessings someone else gets. We can look at another example of this jealousy and types of jealousy. If you flip on over to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. This is the story of Ishmael and Isaac. Now you know Isaac was the promised son of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah were promised a son, and got impatient, and Sarah decided to take her handmaid Hagar and give to Abraham to have a son, because they got impatient waiting on the Lord to do things, decided to take things in their, take matters in their own hands, and it resulted in the birth of Ishmael and set up the problem that we still have today, the entire ancestry of Ishmael still having jealousy and having fights with the offspring of Isaac. So let's look at this here in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 8. It reads, "And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." So this jealousy was beyond just these two kids. Sarah became jealous of Ishmael as well, thinking that Ishmael might be able to take in some of the inheritance. Because if you go back to the early laws about firstborn and about sons and so forth, if they could claim or make a claim that Ishmael was Abraham's firstborn, even though Ishmael was an illegitimate child because he did not marry Hagar. Hagar was his mistress, you might say. It's actually Sarah's handmaiden. And Ishmael was not the promised son. So he was not going to receive the blessings and the inheritance that Isaac was. But Ishmael at this time was about 12 years old, and he got jealous because all the attention got off of him and on to Isaac. As any of you who have had kids can, you know, testify to the fact that kids do get jealous of each other. And that's what was happening here. Sarah got scared. And as you know, they cast out Hagar and Ishmael, but the Lord made a covenant with them and promised that they would make a great nation of Ishmael, which, as you know today, is a great nation. But it is also noted that he would be a very angry child and full of war. And as you know, in today's stuff going on throughout the world, that was also true and is still true today. All right, let's flip on over to another one here. One that everybody's familiar with also. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 5, let's begin there. Now, this is the story of David and Saul. And at this time, Saul is king and David is a servant of Saul in the way of playing music for him and actually leading some of his troops and so forth. And Saul becomes more and more jealous of David because he sees and begins to understand that the Lord is blessing David more than him. And because of things that Saul had done, the disobedience that he has expressed toward the Lord, the ignoring what the Lord had told him to do, would do just the opposite, taking things into his own hands, which we can see this and use this in our own lives, because we can wind up being jealous of another church member or another family member or someone in business that, if they're a Christian, if you compare yourself to what another Christian is doing and a blessing that that other Christian is doing, and then you got to look at your life, if you're not receiving any blessings, are you doing the will of the Lord? Are you in the will of the Lord? If that other Christian that you're trying to compare yourself to or get jealous of their rewards, are they doing the will of the Lord? Is that why they're being blessed? And in this case, David was being blessed because he was in the will of the Lord. He was the one that was chosen to be the next king. Because look at this story as it picks up here in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. It reads, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." So, people liked David. Even Saul's servants liked David. And the reason that Saul put him out there over the men of war was really to try to get him killed in battle. Send him out there in the most dangerous position, leading the troops, hoping that he would get killed so that he wouldn't have to do it himself. In verse 6, reads, "And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. So Saul understood that David was being blessed and that he wasn't. And was very jealous because the people started singing praises to David, more bragging about David than they were about Saul. So Saul got jealous of his achievements. If Saul would have stayed in the straight and narrow and done the will of the Lord, he would have remained king a little bit longer until David was ready to take the throne, until the Lord was ready for David to take the throne. But Saul gets impatient, he gets jealous, he turns to, well, later on, as you know, he turns further away from God and turns and gets advice from a witch, and then the next day goes into battle and winds up getting killed. So his jealousy tore him apart to the point where it filled him with hatred. Now, one of these verses in here was actually brought to me, asked about, was a question asked to me about this one verse in here. Let's go over here to this one. Verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10 reads, And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now, what was going on here was Saul was all going bonkers, basically, and David would calm him by playing with his harp. With his hand, he's talking about here, playing the harp. And it would usually calm Saul down. But at this time, and where a lot of people wonder why it's worded this way in verse 10, where it says that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And it sounds like God sent an evil spirit to get him. Well, that's not exactly what occurred here. An evil spirit from God was a way that was described in the Old Testament if they were speaking of a fallen angel or a demon. And now, this means that what came upon Saul was a fallen angel or a demon. He became possessed with a spirit of jealousy, basically. A spirit of depression. A spirit of discontent. And he was upset with David. That is what came upon him. It wasn't that God sent, took a demon and said, okay, here, you go after Saul. That isn't what happened. The way they would describe fallen angels or demons or bad attitudes or evil attitude within them or an evil spirit as being their attitude as a spirit, an evil spirit from God. Because they blamed all of those conditions on Satan, which they are of Satan, and that's why it's identified as an evil spirit from God. Okay, and it says, and he prophesied. So it sounds like, well, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. But here again, if you go back and look at this word prophesy in the Hebrew and the context that it's in here, and what it basically means is he was throwing a fit. He was going bonkers and he was saying he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And he was hunting David down to kill him. He was going to, as it says on over here, he's going to spike him all the way against the wall here. See over in verse 11. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence. That declaration, that fit that he was having there, then he's hunting David down. He says, I'm going to find him. I'm going to smite him to the wall with my javelin. That was what they're indicating here about him prophesying. He was just basically having a conniption fit because he was that upset with what the women were praising David more than him, all out of jealousy. And it resulted in Saul turning farther away from God, turning to Satan, and winding up getting killed in battle, beheaded, and hung up on a wall. And then, as we here just recently studied about cremation, that they actually came some valiant men from Israel came and got his body and took him back and gave him a proper burial and burned him his body and the body of his sons as well. Okay, another horrific thing that occurred out of jealousy. All right, let's look at a proverb here, a little bit of piece of wisdom that comes from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17. This one sort of turns it around in a different way for advice for us. In Proverbs chapter 23 in verse 17 reads, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off." Now, what I'm speaking of here, you can see out in business world, some real scoundrels out there, they wind up becoming very prosperous. They can make a lot of money being a scoundrel. And if you're a Christian and you're doing business, you've got your own business and you're on the straight and the up and up and you're honest in your works, sometimes you won't make quite as much profit as somebody who is a scoundrel, ripping people off. And for you to be jealous of the scoundrel ripping people off and saying, "Well, I ought to do like he's doing because then I'll make more money," that would be wrong. Because you've got to remember, as it says in the second part here, "For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off." A treasure, a reward, you will be accredited for your honesty. Don't get jealous of someone who achieved something more than you if the way they achieved it is by cheating, stealing, or doing some dishonest thing in business, or got their prosperity in the world in sin. We should not be jealous of their achievements, because like it says, you know, what profit a man if he gain the entire world and lose a soul? And that's what he's pointing out here all the way back in Proverbs. So that sort of turns it back the other way, that we should not be jealous of a sinner's accomplishments in the world, worldly things. We need to be looking at spiritual things. All right. Now, we've been studying the book of Acts lately, and there's a good example of some more jealousy if you turn over to Acts chapter 6. Now, we can encounter this jealousy in so many different ways, in our home, in our business, here at church. Every day we have a chance to be jealous of something someone else has done, someone else has achieved, recognition someone else has gotten, a reward someone else has gotten, a raise someone else has gotten. You might feel like, "Well, they didn't deserve that raise. I deserved that raise. I worked harder for it than they did, but they did something to con somebody into giving them the raise instead of you," and then you get jealous, but yet they got that through sinful ways. You know, and it might not even be that. You might be comparing yourself to another Christian that gets a reward, and you should have gotten that reward in whatever aspect it might be, whether it be financial or recognition or position or whatever, whether it be at your home, at your job, or at church. If you're comparing yourself to a Christian and all things seem to be equal, and they really deserve that blessing, but you think you really deserve that blessing as well, you didn't get it, but they got it, and then you get jealous. That may have been a test to see if you would get jealous. We got to be patient and understand that the Lord is going to basically use us like a piece of steel, wrought iron, you might say, and beat us into the kind of tool that is going to be usable for His will. And if part of that is putting us through conditions or circumstances like that, testing us to see if we would get jealous under that circumstance. You know, and we will grow if we continue to stay in the will of the Lord and dig into the Scriptures and find the will of the Lord for you. And don't get jealous over somebody else's achievements, somebody else's rewards or blessings. Even if it looks like you should have got that blessing instead of someone else. If you start thinking, "Well, I deserve it more than they did, they didn't deserve it," then you get right into the "thou shalt not covet." I mean, you can covet someone's blessings that they received as well, not just material things, but other blessings. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 reads, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Now, murmurings, you know what they are, grumbling and griping and complaining. And it was the Grecians against the Hebrews. Two different groups there. You had the Grecians, which would have been the Gentiles, and the Hebrews, which would have been the Jews, getting jealous of each other. That division was already here in the early church. This is just a few years, right here near the beginning of the book of Acts here, within the very beginnings of the church, things were already starting to get shook up, starting to be divisive. They're part of it. As you know, from our studies in the book of Acts, we've run into this in other places, where the Gentiles and the Hebrews, that jealousy, that competition. And that's what was going on here. One was getting jealous of the other. And over what? It says, because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, this kind of jealousy occurred because there were certain people within the church that were looking at, they give the example here of widows, but we could apply this to ourselves, to our other family members, to our family members that are not even part of the church, but that are outside of the church. And we get to thinking, well, so-and-so received a card when they were in the hospital and flowers from the church, but they didn't send them to my brother when he was in the church. I mean, excuse me, when he was in the hospital. When she was in the hospital, when he was in the hospital. Get it straight here. So you get jealous. You think, well, why did they recognize so-and-so while they were in the hospital and didn't recognize so-and-so? And then start getting on the phone and complaining, murmuring, as it says in here. It's like the Grecians and the Hebrews. It's like certain church members over certain other church members. Whatever division you might want to put that in there, that can apply today, exactly what was going on then, all the way today. They get jealous over the attention that they were getting or that their loved ones were getting or were not getting. And start saying that what they were wanting here was Peter and James and John and all the other apostles there that were in the area to give them all their attention that they could and attend to their loved ones as well. It got too burdensome, got too much of a load for the preachers and the teachers. It shouldn't have been all on them. So what do? They come up with the 7 deacons that they appointed here. And it lists them in verses 5 and so forth there, 5 through, all of 5 there. And they put those duties where it says keeping tables, where it says serving tables in verse 2. It says, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Serving tables is not setting out the dishes and, putting the food in a plate. That's not what serving tables meant. Serving tables meant doing the business of the church or the business of the church group there, because it was already starting to form a business as such, because they were getting donations, and then there was financial needs, and there was organization to be tended to. And that should not have all fallen on to the preacher or the teacher, or in this case, Peter was one of the head ones, and it shouldn't have fell all on him. So that's when they decided to establish the deacons. That's where all that started from, out of jealousy that was already starting to form in the church because they weren't getting enough of the attention. Now, we know that we are all needy people. But where should we focus our needs? Should we focus our needs to a man, or should we focus our needs to God? We should turn to God when we have a need, when we want comfort. We have the Holy Ghost. How much more comfort could you possibly hope for or desire than what the Holy Ghost can give you? If you're fixing to go to the hospital and face surgery or face some tests, you know, do you have to have some other man or some other woman there holding your hand and praying for you? Or can you turn directly to God? You can turn directly to God and get that comfort that He has given all Christians, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And He will give you that peace that passeth all understanding that cannot come from a preacher or a deacon or a trustee or another church member. That's fine if you want somebody to come along. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need to get your life so focused on the Lord that if someone else does come along, or if the preacher does decide to come by and visit you, or a deacon comes by and visits you, that's just icing on the cake. But the main thing is that you turn to your Lord and Savior for your comfort. You get your comfort from the Holy Ghost, not from the preacher, not from the deacon, not from anyone else. They didn't understand that back then. They were new beginners. They were new believers. And that's where the jealousy started and started growing, and that division. And they battled this quite a way through the book of Acts here and even throughout the rest of the New Testament here. And we're still battling it today. Is jealousy over the attention of the people that are in the church, over the attention of the church leaders, over the attention even of God, thinking that, well, you're blessing Him more than you're blessing me because I deserve it, you know. We don't deserve any of it. We deserve the everlasting fire in hell, actually. We don't deserve any of the blessings that we get from the Lord. We ought to rejoice at what blessings we do get and rejoice that we see someone else get a blessing, not be jealous of someone else's blessing. The main thing is don't get jealous. I mean, be rejoicing that someone else gets a blessing because none of us really deserve it. You can't say anything that you've done deserves a blessing from God, because we could work our entire lives a thousand times over and still not deserve the blessing He's already given us as salvation. So anything on top of that is way beyond what we deserve. It's the grace of God, the unmerited favor from God. But let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank You so much for all Your many blessings that You've given us. Thank You for the greatest blessing that of salvation, that gift of salvation that You've given to us. If there be anybody here that hasn't received that gift, that has not opened their heart and accepted You as their Lord and Savior, please help them make that decision here tonight before it's everlasting too late. Because we never know how much more time we got. We were only one heartbeat away from eternity. Please help all of us be able to remember that and keep that in mind and be able to spread Your word and talk as much as we can about it everywhere we are, every chance we get the opportunity. Please be with us here tonight and give a safe journey home and a safe time coming back the next point in time. Thank You so much for this time we've spent studying Your word. It's always an honor and a blessing we get this opportunity. Please help us be able to keep that here in this country. So many forces trying to take that away from us. So we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.